Welcome to Connectivity episode 233. We are here to talk a lot of Sonic the Hedgehog. Joining me on this episode is Nicholas Bray.
Hey.
And John Riordan.
Greetings.
And I am your host, Matt West. So I kind of wanted to start off this this podcast by just kind of asking you guys about what your first experience with Sonic is. Obviously, we're going to talk a lot about Sonic Mania and our feelings on the game, but I think that's that our experience with Sonic Mania is very much colored by our nostalgia for the character and for maybe the Genesis games. So, John, what was your first Sonic game?
I was actually thinking about that just before we started. I think my first one was actually Sonic and Knuckles. I grew up as like a purely Nintendo kid. And so my best friend at the time had a Genesis, and so he would bring it over and we'd play those games. It was this weird alternate reality thing when you're a Nintendo fanboy as a kid. But yeah, so he had, I'm pretty sure it was Sonic and Knuckles. And so that would have been the first one I played. I just remember it having a very unique and different vibe when compared to, like, you know, Mario, like Super Mario World at the time.
Yeah, very much so. Especially Sonic and Knuckles is kind of the, I think, the weird one of the Genesis 2D Sonic games.
Yes, well, especially, I mean, you have to build that, like, kind of tower of power to, like, get the game going. And, like, it's a weird, like, what is this strange contraption that you've brought over to my home to play this weird game? Like, it was bizarre.
Yeah. Nick, what about you? What was your first Sonic game?
I think I played Sonic 2 on the Master System at a friend's house. I think that was the first time I saw Sonic the Hedgehog, and, like, we played that back and forth. And then for Christmas, probably, like, 93 or 94, we got the Mega Drive, and it came, we, like, my parents got Sonic and a couple of other Mega Drive games. So I played Sonic 1 a lot, and then sometime after that, we got Sonic 2, and I played that a fair bit as well. Those are, like, my favorite Sonic games, I think. Probably helps that I played them to death as a kid, but I didn't play Sonic and Knuckles and Sonic 3 as much, and I don't tend to like the design of those as much, even though they're more, like, complex and there's more stuff, like, going on with, like, different shields and, you know, different mini-games and all that sort of stuff, but, yeah, I sort of have a soft spot for the more, like, the design that they established in Sonic 1 and Sonic 2.
Okay. My first game of Sonic that I played was Sonic 2 on Sega Genesis. That's the game that came with our Sega Genesis. That it wasn't my Sega Genesis. It was the game system that my grandma had at her house. She had the Sega Genesis. I grew up, like John, in a mostly Nintendo household. Until, like, the GameCube PS2 era, where I just started buying every kind of video game possible. But my grandma had a Sega Genesis, and she also had the PlayStation system, so that's how I was exposed to those. But yeah, it was always kind of this weird alternate reality that, like, John was talking about, where you'd go and you'd play this Sega Genesis thing, and for the most part, the only actual good Genesis game she had were the Sonic games. But Sonic 2 was the first one I played, and I remember wanting to play it because I was a fan of the Sonic the Hedgehog cartoons at the time.
Yeah.
I just thought those were, that, like, Sonic was my favorite cartoon character, and so I thought that, like, the video games were based on the cartoon, like a lot of games were back then.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was the other way around. So I was really excited to play about the
Princess Sally wasn't in the game.
Oh yeah, that's still. I even subscribed to the Archie comics, like, afterward, for years and years, because I really liked those characters. I think I found that I liked the Sonic Saturday AM, cartoon universe of Sonic more than I actually liked the Sega Sonic universe. I loved the games when I was a kid. I think my favorite ended up being Sonic 3 and Knuckles, when you use that lock-on thing to combine the games. It just made the game feel really huge, and the levels were really sprawling, and you could, I don't know, they branched in a lot of different ways, so every time you played a level, it could be a little bit different. But I definitely very much cherish Sonic the Hedgehog 2, as my early Sonic memories, so. Well, Sonic Mania came out very recently, and I think, did you guys beat it? Did you finish the game?
No, I'm still at Lava Reef Zone. I haven't played it for, like, a week or so.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't finished it either. Mario and okay. Rabbids is now going to distract me, I'll be honest.
Yeah, that game looks real good. I really want to play it. I do not have the opportunity to play it probably until later this year, but I definitely intend to check that game out. But, yeah, my kids actually have been pretty obsessed with, Sonic. They've been playing, like, two-player mode against each other. So that's been kind of cool to kind of watch, my 5-year-old and my 2-year-old, like, play the same game, basically, that I played when I was, five years old.
Are they playing the competitive mode, or is one of them playing as Tails in, like, the single-player game?
They've done a little bit of both. They really like the competitive mode because, they both get their own screen. And yeah. I played as Tails with my oldest son for a while. And as somebody that always played as Sonic and made my younger brother play as Tails, in the Genesis version, I very quickly realized that I subjected my younger brother to some weird type of torture.
See, I didn't have a brother. I got a sister, but she was never really super into it. But we had a family friend that I used to play Sonic 2 with him when he came over from Sydney and stuff. And he would generally be Tails, but he enjoyed like being basically invincible. And I would just hang back on the bosses and just say, "Oh, go Tails, attack, and like take out the boss for me because you're invincible."
Yeah. It's funny, like my 5-year-old, he's pretty young, and this is really his first 2D Sonic game.
Yeah.
But he's kind of already figured out like what Tails is useful for, and so he'll slow down if there's like something he wants me to fly him up to, or he'll like lay back and just let me attack the boss instead of him. So it's been kind of funny to watch him like discover these strategies that I've known for like 20 years now.
Yeah.
So that's been one of my favorite things about Sonic Mania is just seeing my kids kind of discover, this new game that's actually kind of an old game, very similar in a lot of ways to a game that, I treasured when I was younger. But I have beat the game, I got all the Chaos Emeralds and unlocked, Super Sonic. I do want to go back and play the game, as Knuckles because I've heard that some of the stages are very different. If you play as Knuckles. So I do intend to do that, especially since I don't really have time right now to play Mario and Rabbids. Sonic Mania came at a perfect time because it's a, you can sit down and play a couple levels, for like 20 minutes and then turn the Switch off, especially since it's handheld.
I will say
it's kind of nice for me.
It's probably like one of my favorite handheld Switch games to come out. I did a live stream of it this past weekend, but until then, I had never played it on a TV. Like, I got it, played it on the handheld, and just never... I never hooked it up to the TV to play it. It's perfect as a handheld game, I think.
Really good on the handheld screen.
Yeah.
That's typically how I play most Switch games, to be honest. Even the bigger ones like Zelda, I probably played Zelda, 80% on the handheld. I personally prefer handheld. Like, I love 3DS, I love Game Boy, I love GBA. So handheld has always, like, when Nintendo said, we're making a console that's basically a home console that you can take on the go, I was like, that's my dream console.
Yeah.
So, it's been great. And especially for stuff like indie stuff, and also for, like, the older, like, nostalgic-infused games like a Sonic Mania. It's been perfect.
Yeah. I've generally been playing, a couple of zones or try and finish one whole zone in a sitting and then turning it off. Because after, like, 2 acts, I'm sort of had enough. Especially if, I die at the boss and have to replay the first act again. Because, it doesn't seem like it takes that long, but, like, when you're playing each... I don't know, it feels like, it might only be 5 minutes, but it feels like a lot longer when you're playing the acts, I feel. They're quite big levels.
They're pretty big.
I don't understand why we still have lives in 2D platformers, and that, This game does a lot of stuff right. That is one of my kind of major complaints about it, is the life system.
Because I'm down to, like, just the standard three lives, and I've got to try and scrape together a couple of extra lives in the two acts I'm currently doing to, like, hopefully not die against the boss. I mean, generally I don't, but there's been a couple where, like, I just sort of have to figure out how to do it, or I just make really dumb mistakes, like, or, you know, it stretches on for longer than I think it would, like the Metal Sonic boss fight. That was kind of annoying.
Yeah, I thought the same thing as you, John. I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, why do we still have lives? That's such an...
Right.
You know, lives were made for arcade games.
Yes.
So that you would keep pumping quarters into arcade machines. And it's like, you know, we have home consoles now. We're not pumping quarters into them anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a few developers have figured it out over the years, but for the most part, Nintendo's method seems to be giving you so many coins that you could never possibly run out of lives, but let's just take them out.
I'm very happy that lives won't be in Odyssey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
I think with a game like Sonic Mania, though, they kind of had to put the lives in. I mean, there wasn't really going to get around to, like, an old-school Sonic game without having lives.
Oh,
for
the nostalgia factor?
Yeah, and, like, just the way the old games were. And I guess, like, if you kind of need lives if you do the no-save, like, option. It was just, like, the classic, sure. Just play the whole game, and if you die, it's, like, game over completely. Like,
I do wish, though, that's that fair. if you died on the boss in Act 2,
yeah,
that
yeah.
it didn't take you all the way back to Act 1. The beginning of Act 1. Like, that,
absolutely.
That so annoying. Yes. Yep.
Yep.
So that's a design... That was a design flaw in Sonic the Hedgehog 1, and it is still a design flaw in Sonic
Yeah.
So... that's something that I could have lived
Sonic,
without.
If you died on the boss in Sonic 1 and, like, the Mega Drive games, you just went back to the start of the act, didn't you? Or, like,
I think if you lose all your lives,
the game's yeah. over, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah. But yeah, that was something that, because I think the Metal Sonic one that you're talking about, I think I died on that and I had, you know, zero lives left.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, man, that sucks. I'm going to try again. I didn't realize I was on my last life.
Yeah.
And so it takes me back to Act 1. And, you know, at that point, I'm just like, nope, I'll try again tomorrow.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I was like, when that stuff sort of started happening, I was like, okay, I really don't feel like playing through the whole two acts again. I'm just going to come back tomorrow or something now. It's like, yeah.
It's just I had a boss where I'd be playing... I played that game a lot, like, during breaks at work, so I'd have, like, 15 minutes or something, and I'd die on a boss and get sent back to the beginning of the act, and then it's like I'm spending my entire break just getting back to the boss so I can pause and then play it again the next day at my next break.
And some of the bosses...
That would be super frustrating.
And some of the bosses don't... I don't know. They don't communicate exactly what to do that well straight away. So you usually die just trying to work out the flow of the boss, like, on the first go round.
Yeah.
Like, and then I beat the Metal Sonic boss without even realizing I was... Do you know the middle section when you went to, like, rebound the other guy into him?
Yeah,
I was doing that wrong. I was trying to time the jump to, like, bump him up into Metal Sonic, but you meant to, like, you can just... spin dash into him when he's on the ground and he'll bounce directly into him. So, yeah, it took, like, the middle section was taking me ages because it was just getting the timing right.
I will say the majority of the boss fights are, I would say, some of the better, like, 2D platforming boss fights I've played in a while. I mean, there are a few throwaways in there, but for the most part, they're all very different and fun, unique.
They're pretty creative, some of them. I like the, the one I played recently, it was on Hydro City, the boss in that, like, Sonic basically gets into Robotnik's machine and, like, sucks him up. That's like a role That's reversal sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that was so cool. When that happened, there were so many cool fan service things like that either turned a classic boss fight on its head. Or that, you know, like, did something really weird and random, like when I don't know if you guys are familiar with, like, some of the characters that they threw in, but you had that one of those egg robots that, like, transformed into, like, Fang the Sniper and Bark the Polar Bear in, like, the deserty area.
Oh, yeah.
Those are characters from, like, Sonic Fighters. Mm. Like, that's like some and, like, the Game Gear games. Like, that's, like, some deep, like, Sonic lore right there that they're, like, throwing into. When that happened, I was just like, what in the world? Like, what? They, like, even put these characters in here. That's so weird. They had, like, wanted posters for Fang the Sniper, like, in that level. So, as somebody that played, that got really into, Sonic, like, in late elementary school, early middle school, some of those things were really cool. Spoiler, I assume most people have played the game by now that, you know, actually want to play the game. But that Chemical Plant Act 2 boss, where it was Puyo Puyo, Dr. Robotnik. Like, that was genius. Like,
I was not expecting that. That was great. When that happened, I was like, what's going on?
Yeah. So there are just some really cool, throwbacks, to, like, just everything that a fan, you can tell this game was made by a fan who absolutely adores Sonic. Mm-hmm. So, I appreciated those things. Let's talk about zones, though. Like, so, you know, I threw out a couple, like, really interesting, like, boss fights and stuff, but did you guys, like, have, like, some zones that really stuck out to you? And you don't have to know the name of them.
Yeah, I like, I've liked all of the new original zones. I thought they've all been really good. I really liked the second act of Press Garden Zone, where it goes all, like, really pretty and snow-like and stuff. Wasn't expecting that. That left an impression on me because it's so different to the first act. And usually, like, they stay consistently the same, like, the theme-wise in these acts and zones. So that was kind of cool.
I thought in general, like, like you said, I think the new content, like the new zones, were generally better than like the rehash zones. Just because I feel like there are certain things in old Sonic that don't necessarily work that well in like a game design standpoint. Like Chemical Plant is, while there's a lot of nostalgia to it, those underwater rotating square block platforms are things, like those. Hell is just full of those, and I'm not sure why that
slow.
Level
you
is in
to
the
take it slow through there. As soon as you start rushing,
but you're underwater and you're dying. Yeah. It's like the most stressful thing. But then you know there's stuff like Green Hill Zone, the annoying backward springs for no reason other than screw you. But I felt like in the new zones there was a lot less of that stuff and a lot more just good level design. And I felt like I was enjoying those a lot more.
Sure. Yeah, the new zones, I think, were the highlight. There were some elements that were new. What I liked about some of the old zones that they'd thrown in, like the Hydrosity Zone, was that some of those were so drastically remixed that they felt like different levels. And, I don't know, the music was also really good in that zone. I've always been a big fan of that zone. Even though I typically don't like underwater Sonic levels, like, I really like that level.
I really enjoyed that two of them as well.
Yeah, it's a good, that one's from Sonic 3. It's the second level in Sonic 3.
See, I didn't like that, like it in Sonic 3. I've never liked that zone, really. But, I think it's actually better in this game.
I didn't like the zone. I liked the music from the zone, though. That music always gets stuck in my head, even though I didn't really care for that zone in the original game, but I loved it in this game, especially Act 2 was really cool.
Yeah.
So I think my favorite zone was, the one that stuck out most to me was probably also Press Garden Zone. Like, just the fact that the two acts were so different, that was really cool, and the second act was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah,
especially on the Switch's handheld screen, like that was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the ones that weren't as that I didn't love as much, you know, I'm just kind of tired of playing Green Hill Zone.
Yeah.
Like I know it's the first Sonic level, I know it's the classic one or whatever. It's like Super Mario Bros. World 1-1. But yeah. Like, man, I'm just tired of playing that level.
See, like, the whole Sonic Mania thing, the nostalgia thing hasn't really worked on me. Really, like, I got the game because it's Sonic and I like Sonic, but, like, the nostalgia doesn't hit me the same way as it used to. I don't know if that's because over the last, 15 years, we've had, so many re-releases of the old Sonic games, and I've bought them on, you know, multiple platforms and played through them and stuff. Like, I'm just sort of over the nostalgia. I would have preferred a full game of, like, original zones, but, most of the zones that have come back are, like, the second acts really ramp it up, so at least that's something interesting. And they show more of what Green Hill Zone's like, you know, further on into it and stuff.
And to be fair, I mean, they do, like, Green Hill Zone, they added a lot of stuff that was from, like, Sonic 2 into there. And like, Chemical Plant, even though I hate that level, that whole, like, bouncy liquid thing where you would, like, inject different colors of liquid into there. As far as I know, that's new. I don't remember that being in any other Sonic game.
It's new.
Okay. And that was, I thought that was really cool. That was it'd be cool to see what, like you said, what they could do with all new levels without being restricted by the old ones.
Yeah. I will tag on to what Nick said. Like, I did feel like the Act 2, was really where, Christian Whitehead and his team, like, just took the classic levels and remixed them enough to where they felt new. So the Act 2s typically felt better than Act 1, but Act 1 was almost just a straight port of the level for most of the classic ones.
It was kind of cool, like, in the case of Green Hill Zone, like, I think Act 1 basically runs, like, Acts 1 and 2 of Green Hill Zone together and like, expands on it a bit. Like, you can tell where elements were taken from those acts. Even Act 3 gets a few, like, elements thrown into the mix there, but it's not quite as extensive as the other two.
Other than Press Garden Zone, the zone that I really liked was Mirage Saloon, which is like the, like, canyon-like level where you ride on the train and you do the fight against, like, the robot that turns into the Sonic Fighter enemies.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really cool-looking level, something that I don't really remember anything like that being in an older Sonic game. Like, where you, like, you jump as a ball into, like, the like, guns, and, like, it fires you all over the place. Like, that was kind of a cool idea.
I didn't like the boss. It was kind of weird, because I wasn't sure when you could actually do damage on him or not. Because, like, you could hit his head when he was jumping, I think, out of the screen, but it didn't really do anything. You had to try and hit him when he was going horizontally, I think.
Was there a zone that you didn't like? I know, John, you said you didn't really care for Chemical Plant Zone because the water stuff. Is there another zone that stuck out?
I think Chemical Plant is just because it combines my two least favorite things in Sonic, which is forcing the player to go really slow and being underwater. So it's just it's Marble Zone meets underwater, and that's a bad time for me.
Oh, I wish wish Marble Zone was included in this, and like they remixed Marble
Zone.
It a bit.
Yeah. Marble Zone has my favorite music in any Sonic the Hedgehog game, but I hate that level. Just goes against everything Sonic should be. It's a Mario
quick,
level
though, if you want to.
Sometimes there's a lot of literally waiting for animations to happen before you can go forward in Marble Zone.
Yeah. There's a lot of waiting for platforms to be in the right spot, for sure.
Yeah.
The one level that stuck out to me that I didn't like the first act of was like the penultimate zone, Metallic Madness. And it drove me crazy because there were so many, just like FU moments that were just like, hey, like, you're going fast. Well, here's an enemy that just is out of nowhere that you're going to run into.
Let me guess, did they bring back those star-shaped things that shoot off their points? Did they bring those back?
No, not I mean, there I remember. Are things that, there are things that, like, shoot at you, but not those. But, like, I mean, in Metallic Madness Zone, there's, like, spikes and enemies and, like, just everything that you could possibly imagine for you to run into to keep you from going fast, which is what Sonic's about. Luckily, that was just the first act of that. Like, the second act was significantly better. Mm-hmm. But man, that first act of Metallic Madness, and I was like, okay, here it is. There's always that one zone in a Sonic game that I absolutely hate.
And it's a bit of a slog.
Here it is. I finally found it. But I mean, other than that, like Chemical Plant Zone, you know, I've played it so many times that, you know, I can kind of breeze through it without getting too annoyed. I'm tired of Green Hill Zone, but it's not a bad zone.
They should have done
other
like
than that. I thought they were great.
They should have done like Emerald Hill or something instead of Green Hill. I know Green Hill's the more iconic one, but they've never reprised Emerald Hill Zone from Sonic 2 that I can remember.
Yeah, and I actually, it's probably just the fact that I played Sonic 2 first, but I actually prefer Emerald Hill, so. That was the first Sonic level I ever played, so.
There is a lot of Emerald Hill in that Green Hill Zone level, though. Like those spinning, like, spike logs and stuff like that, like, none of that was in the original Sonic, right?
Is
it?
Were they?
Yeah, that was in the original.
I was thinking that was all from Sonic 2.
Nah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually don't think those are in Emerald Hill. I don't remember them being in Emerald Hill.
You couldn't burn them in Sonic 1, though, with the flame shield.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's more of like a Sonic 3 type thing where the shields... Well, they didn't even have the flame shield in Sonic 1.
No.
So that was kind of cool, like playing through some old levels with like some... like Sonic 3, like playing through a Sonic 1 level with like Sonic 3 items and stuff. Like that was kind of cool.
And it's nice that they went to the effort, like with those bridges, to have those items interact with the world.
Yeah.
Like bringing those items back into an old game and then actually making them fit in that game is cool.
It was the same with the flame shield in Oil Ocean. If you stand in the oil, it all catches on fire, which is cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. If you took that to that octopus boss, like, you could kill him really easily.
Mm.
So that was really cool. If you didn't, the fight was a lot harder, so.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of really cool, ideas in Sonic Mania. So what about bosses? We mentioned some bosses. Did we miss any bosses that you guys really enjoyed? I know you haven't finished the game.
Yeah.
I liked the boss of, I think it's the, like, the TV studio level. What is that one?
Studiopolis zone.
Yes. And it's the one that's, like, a bunch of robots. One of them's on, like, a ship with a bazooka shooting missiles at you, and you're running the whole time.
Yeah.
And I thought it was cool because I felt like it was one of the few bosses I've seen in Sonic where, like, Sonic speed matters. Like, you're not just in, like, a locked-off area jumping. Mm. You're running, and you need to manage Sonic speed as you, like, jump over certain missiles and hit other ones. I thought it was just a cool boss that actually took Sonic's, like, character into account, and I thought that was neat. I did glitch it the first time I beat it, and Sonic just stopped existing.
Oh.
And I just kind of kept moving the camera over until the level ended. But other than that, I liked it.
I thought that one was pretty good, but I found like because you're meant to be running forward and you got to try and keep up your speed and that, to jump over those missiles was a little bit irritating because as soon as you jumped, the momentum pushed you back. Like, it was kind of hard to jump over them. You had to be pretty precise to get over the top of them. You had to jump at the very last second to do it, but...
There was some weird, Sonic physics. Those extremely accurate Sonic the Hedgehog physics kind of fight you in that boss fight.
Yeah.
As they do through much of the game.
I just replayed that zone. I'm playing through it again now that I have all the Chaos Emeralds. Because there's a... there's like the true ending that you get if you collect all 7 Chaos Emeralds. But I'm playing through it again and I just did that boss fight as Super Sonic and it's like significantly easier because all you have to do is just run into everything. So I remember it being a little, a little more frustrating the first time, and this time I'm just kind of like moving forward.
It was easier once I realized that you can, like, for the missiles you do want to hit, you can just roll into them as opposed to jumping on them.
Yeah,
and once I figured that out so I didn't have to be, like, accurate to, like, hit the smallest missile, then it became a whole lot easier.
Yeah, I was doing that too. Roll.
Yeah.
When you get to the true ending, there's a true final boss fight. I'm not going to spoil it, but I am going to say it is equally one of, like, the coolest and one of the most frustrating boss fights in the game. I really liked it, and I also, like, really hated it at the same time. But if you haven't, like, collected the Chaos Emeralds and you haven't, like, beat the game and got the true ending, I will say, like, the final boss fight is kind of worth it. Like, I think it's an interesting boss fight that hasn't really, they've never really done anything in a 2D Sonic game that's quite like it, as far as I remember. But at the same time, it feels like it kind of feels like a 3D Sonic idea that, that is put in like a 2D Sonic game.
I've only got one Chaos Emerald.
They're kind of hard to get.
Well, I was going to say, can we talk for a second about that minigame to get, like, the UFO chase minigame?
Yeah.
Because that's my favorite part of this game.
I
wish it's... Because it's kind of... It's from Sonic CD, right? Like, it's kind of a reimagining of a minigame from that. But, totally redone, obviously.
Yeah. In Sonic CD, you are, like... There's, like, 8 UFOs floating around, like, a track. And it's a similar viewpoint, but you're trying to destroy the UFOs. In this one, you're chasing them down.
But it was cool because it's once again, you're trying to catch something, and the whole point of it is collecting things to make you faster. It plays really well. Like, it reminds me of, like, the Captain Toad levels in Mario 3D World, where I'm just kind of thinking to myself the whole time, like, man, I kind of wish the whole game was just this. Like, I wish someone would just make this as a game, because I would definitely play that.
They did. It was called Sonic R, and it was very bad.
No.
The physics in this minigame are basically Sonic R physics. I mean, it's pretty close.
It handles, like, you can actually, like, skid in this. Like, Sonic handles a lot better. I played a lot of Sonic R as a kid. I had, like, the Sega...
Yeah, me too.
Jam Pack or whatever it was on PC.
I played it on GameCube.
Oh, that's
a
masterpiece. I think it's cool that, like, even when they introduced, like, those 3D elements, they never went beyond, like, the horsepower of, like, a Sega Saturn.
I know.
That was
so
a
cool.
Really cool, really cool touch.
And I've only beaten, like, one Blue Sphere challenge, too. I keep dying in, like, the last section of it, each one I do.
Some of those are, like, ripped straight from Sonic 3, and I played Sonic 3 so much as a kid that I, like, it's like muscle memory.
Yeah, you can just do it.
Yeah. So I haven't beat all of those. I've beat most of them. I haven't got perfect on all of them. I think I've got perfect on, like where you get all the rings and all the spheres. I think I've got perfect on, like, 6 of them, maybe, and I've got silver on almost all the others, but... I did get all the Chaos Emeralds. There's one of these special stage levels, though. I think it's the 6th one. I don't think I've swore so much at a video game. I just missing it every single time. And, I probably played it, like, 15 times. Trying to get this stupid yellow Chaos Emerald. Other than that one that was really frustrating, I did really like the special stage. It did remind me a little bit of Sonic R and Sonic CD kind of fused together. But I did appreciate that. And even though I said Sonic R was bad, I do have fond memories of playing it as a kid.
Yeah.
It's not a perfect game by any means, but I have fond memories of it.
It's not quite a 10 out of 10. Close, but no cigar.
Yeah, maybe like a 9.5.
9.9, yeah, it's almost there.
Like,
yeah, but...
Well, I think with Sonic R, like, it takes a little while to get used to it, but once you sort of get past how janky it is, you get used to the way it controls, and you actually can be, like, fairly decent at it. Because, like I said, I got it on the GameCube collection disc, and my friends and I played it a little bit, and It was pretty fun, but I mean, there's only like five or six tracks in the whole game. It's like, there's not much content in that game.
No. Yeah. And there aren't like a lot of characters either.
Yeah.
No, and that is the thing about like the minigame in Sonic Mania. It never felt janky. I didn't ever feel like I had to get used to how it controlled. Mm. It controlled about like how I felt it should control. So that was the major distinguishing factor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a cool special stage. I'm glad that they the Sonic 3 special stages the blue sphere ones were my favorite of the three Genesis games, so I was glad to see those come back. And then I also always loved the Sonic CD special stages. So I thought that they picked two really good special stages to kind of remix for this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright, so I think we talked... So, like, if you had to score, like, review and score Sonic Mania, what would you give it, John?
I know you haven't finished it, but... I have not, and I've been, you know, trying to mostly keep it to my positive opinions for this whole thing.
Sure.
I do have plenty of issues with it, most of those being with, like, the base Sonic design and physics. Mm-hmm. But I think I would still give it probably like a 7.5. I'll say this, it is the best 2D Sonic game I've ever played. That's
sure.
Definitely.
Okay. Nick, what about you?
Yeah, I'd probably, like, I haven't finished it yet either, but like, I'd probably put it about an 8. I think I'd end up around there. Just on the fact that, there's only like 4, like, completely original zones. You know, there's room for improvement there, mm-hmm. I guess. Like, you could not use remix levels. I think this is more personal preference, but I don't like how big the levels are in Sonic Mania. I don't like the sprawling, huge, like, confusing layouts of with Sonic levels. I prefer them to be a little bit, like, big, like, so you can explore them a bit. But I like being able to... visualize the entire map in my head, like, easily, and you can't do that on Sonic Mania, I feel. I think you'd have to play through each level, like, hundreds of times, or maybe not that many, but, you know, a lot more times to be able to sort of start to, like, piece together where everything sits within the level. But, like, in Sonic 1 and Sonic 2, you could understand, even with some of the more, like, the levels that are a bit bigger, like, in Chemical Plant Zone in 2, it is fairly big level, but you, after like a few runs through it, you say, oh, okay, well, this is how it all fits together, and you can sort of visualize the whole map. But yeah, that's just my sort of preference coming into play more, because I don't enjoy the, like, because Sonic 3 and Knuckles was like that at 2, like, they were quite a bit bigger. And I just didn't play those as much as a kid, so.
Yeah. I think for me, Sonic 3 and Knuckles was my favorite as a kid. I love the other ones too, but I loved being able to pick between Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles as playable characters. I loved the different shield types. I loved the sprawling levels. Sonic Mania, in so many ways, feels like the sequel to Sonic 3 and Knuckles that I always wanted.
Mm. Yeah.
And so, as somebody whose favorite Sonic game ever is Sonic 3 and Knuckles, getting Sonic Mania. And having, as somebody that dipped a lot into Sonic lore as a kid, having all those things, like freaking Bark the Polar Bear showing up in this game, Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, like that kind of thing just being thrown in here was just really cool. So as somebody that has a lot of nostalgia for Sonic as a character and as a series, and it was important to me, I think, growing up, this is probably my favorite Sonic game ever. 2D or 3D. So I think I'd give it a 9, a solid 9. Because, you know, I recognize, like, even the best of best Sonic games isn't a 10 out of 10, you know? Because Sonic has some inherent design flaws that are just part of Sonic the Hedgehog. But, yeah, I don't know. I love this game a lot. I'm still playing it, even after beating it. And I still want to go back and I want to beat the game as Knuckles. So, That's a good sign to me. Like, if I'm still playing a Sonic game after I've already finished it, then it's a damn good Sonic game. So.
Yeah.
Those are my feelings.
going back to what I was saying just before too, with how big the levels are, because like when I was a kid, I would try and explore, like go through the levels slowly and try and find like how to get to everywhere and find all the rings. Like I used to try and collect every single ring in the levels. I know that's impossible in some like later Sonic games and certain levels and stuff, yeah, but yeah. Like that was like a goal to try and explore it and stuff. So that's also like another thing. Like it's in a lot of these levels in Sonic Mania, it's impossible to, there's whole sections where you can't, the whole point is to sort of just go down this roller coaster ride and you can't really stop in between it very easily. Like you'd have to replay the level from scratch to try and alter your path. But I mean, that's it's not like a huge issue, but like that's just something that stuck out to me.
There is a level, Flying Battery Zone, where if you choose a specific, if you go down the garbage chute, the level plays entirely different than it does if you don't go down that garbage chute, which is so cool. Like, that's one of the things that I love about, like, the Sonic 3 level design is that levels can feel different based on what path you pick. You can't go back and it's not easy to explore and stuff, but that is something that I always appreciated about it, was that I could play a level two or three times, and each time it would be a little bit different.
It gives it a lot more replay value than most 2D platformers have.
So I did like that. That's something that 2D Mario didn't do really until later. Like the original three Marios on NES didn't really have that branching path thing, and so it was really cool to play like a Sonic game that had these branching paths. I think like Super Mario World was the first one that kind of played around with that idea.
Yeah.
And had like a few levels where it was branching paths. But I mean, still, even then, most levels I think were, you know, there was a clear end. There were some secret exits that you could find, but, yeah. So
yeah, because
I appreciate
in Sonic levels generally, like you got like they're quite a bit more vertical than like Mario levels tend to be, and it's like you can go up to the top of the level, go across, or you can go down through the middle or down through the bottom, and it's all, you know, slightly different.
So that's something I always appreciated, and Sonic Mania has a lot of that. I understand like that's not everybody's thing, but that's one thing that I always loved Sonic for. What about, let's talk about the future, like where does 2D Sonic go from here? Because, like, I'm of the opinion, and I think a lot of Sonic fans are of the opinion, that this is a really, really good 2D Sonic game. But I also don't think they can really do this again. Like, you can't really use the nostalgia factor for, like, a Sonic Mania 2. I think that they exhausted all of, like, the best Sonic classic stages in this one. So where can they go?
I think the obvious thing is to make a whole game with original levels. I mean, that would probably be the logical next step to do. And, like, try and throw in some new wrinkles or new characters or, you know, they'll probably think of something new to add to it. Or the other idea I'm kind of keen on would be to make, like, a Sonic Maker, like, knockoff Super Mario Maker, basically.
I'd be down for that. I'd play Sonic Maker.
Yeah.
I think it's I think it's pretty clear that, I mean, the guys that did Sonic Mania, I think they're better at making 2D Sonic games than any of the people at Sega who have ever made a 2D Sonic game. And I'd like to see them go, like, because the original levels in this are seemingly so clearly the best part of the game, I would love to see these guys, and it doesn't even have to be like a retro pixel art style Sonic.
Yeah.
Just take their level design and push it out. Cause we've all like, even like, it's fairly widely known that I don't like Sonic the Hedgehog. But I enjoyed this game. And even like you guys who clearly like it a lot more than me acknowledge there are some flaws in Sonic's core design. I think these guys could potentially fix a lot of those flaws, because that's, I think, the best part about the new levels, is that they don't really seem to exhibit the flaws that classic Sonic has. So I'd love to see where they could take it.
Yeah, and I mean, I haven't noticed any bottomless pits, really, in Mania so far, so That's an improvement from the DIMPS era Sonic games on the handhelds and stuff.
Yeah. I think it's cool to have a game that is Sega sponsored but made by fans who are talented but also clearly love the source material.
They get it better than Sega does.
Yeah, and that includes the flaws.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you gave them, if you said, I think you stay away from numbering it, like, don't call it Sonic 4 or Sonic 5 or whatever, like,
no.
You know, attach another word, maybe you could even call it Mania 2, but just don't include, like, classic stages or whatever.
New Sonic the Hedgehog.
But yeah, oh my gosh.
Sonic 2019.
You can get the bars in.
Yeah. But I mean, give these guys, like, if I'm Sega right now, you know, these guys just made the best Sonic game of the last, like, two decades.
Maybe ever.
Yeah. So I'm throwing more money at them. And I'm saying, hey, make another one of these, but, like, do what you want.
For a quick job freedom. Before their next major project, I want them to port Sonic 1, 2, CD, and then they can maybe, like, redo Sonic 3 and Knuckles as well, and, like, that new engine they have. Because those ports of Sonic 1 and 2 have only shown up on iOS and stuff.
Put those on the Switch.
Yeah, put them on the Switch, please. Do a collection.
Yeah, I'll buy them. Buy them.
Yeah, if Nintendo won't start that virtual console, just do it yourself.
Yeah. Especially, like, do it now while, like, strike while the iron's hot. Like, mm-hmm. Sonic is... Do it before Sonic Forces comes out and it burns us all again.
Back down the toilet we go.
Yeah.
I mean, Sonic Forces might be decent. Like, it might be alright. I mean, I don't think there's been a completely awful 3D Sonic game for, like, the last 10 years.
I did not like Lost World.
Sonic Boom.
No, that doesn't count. Yeah. That doesn't count. I don't count that. That wasn't made by Sonic Team.
You don't just get to not count one.
I do get to not count
it. I actually...
I'll agree with both of you. It is technically a Sonic game. It is a bad game, but it also is not a Sonic Team game, so it's, you know, it's a little different.
Great TV show, though.
I've heard good things about the TV show.
So. You should watch it. It's very good. Right. I actually really like Sonic Lost World. I think that's probably my favorite 3D Sonic. I think it's the closest I've ever gotten to really converting that formula into 3D well. I have a lot of nostalgia for Sonic Adventure and Adventure 2.
Yeah.
But I think Lost World is a very good attempt at 3D Sonic.
Once you get used to the controls of Lost World, like, it really clicks, I think. And the way you can sort of jump and then land, you jump again to keep your speed going. While in ball form is really cool to watch, like, speedrunners tackle levels.
Yeah.
The only, like, true 3D Sonic, like, the not hybrid Sonic, because there's a lot of those hybrids that are, like, part 3D, part 2D, like, generations and colors, which I like those. Like, those are good games. The only, like, true 3D Sonic where the entire game is in 3D that I actually liked was Sonic Adventure 2. And part of that was because I just really liked the Chao Garden, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know why they never brought that back. I think a lot of people actually enjoyed that element of it.
Oh, the Chao Garden?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I have a lot of nostalgia for Adventure 2. I tried to go back to it recently, and it is not aged very well. There are some good ideas in it, but
I can still play the Sonic levels in that and make it, like, it feels alright. But yeah, it's like one of those things you need to become a little bit used to, because there's obviously some jank in the way Sonic controls and that. You got to sort of know when not to use the homing attack.
Oh, it is all jank all the time. You just have to flow with the jank and just accept it.
Yeah. I still remember, because I hadn't played a Sonic, like, because I had a Mega Drive until, like, 99, then I got an N64. I didn't really know what was happening with Sonic until GameCube. So I was like, oh, yeah, Sonic's on GameCube. I'll get the Sonic game when I get my GameCube. And I put it in, and I was like, what's this rock music? Like, where's the happy music I remember? And, like, it was like a culture shock. I was like, oh, what's going on? Why is Sonic, like this now? It took me a while to adjust to it.
Yeah. That era was not good. Like, when Sonic made the jump to GameCube, you know, like, there were a lot of not-so-great games. But you know what system did have some really good Sonic games then was the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sonic Advance 1, 2, and 3, those are good games. I really enjoyed them.
Yeah, I got into speedrunning, like, trying to set a good record of time on, like, the first couple of acts of Sonic Advance 2, and it was really fun, because, like, that game was set up more than, like, the other ones to be sort of like a racing game, sort of like a racing level platforming game sort of thing. Like, even the bosses were constantly, you're running after them and dodging stuff, like, But yeah, Sonic Advance 1 was, like, pretty good. If anyone's never played Sonic Advance 1, it feels a lot like the Mega Drive games, just with some new sprite work and stuff.
That's another game that I would love to see to come to Switch Virtual Console.
Mm. Yep.
If we ever get a Switch Virtual Console.
Did those games never came out on Wii U GBA Virtual Console, did they?
No.
Nah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of potential for Virtual Console on Switch. I mean, like, Switch just seems like it's probably still too early to tell, but I mean, the momentum right now for Switch is so much better than Wii U's ever was.
It's better than most Nintendo systems have ever been.
But, yeah.
I mean, it's hard to overstate how good it is. Yeah.
I have a weird feeling that it's just going to fall off a cliff at some point, though. It feels like the momentum is too good at the moment, in, like, everyone's buying it. Then they're, like, early next year, people are going to be like, where's the games? Like, where's, like...
I can see in, like, 2019,
yeah,
when, like, PlayStation 5 is announced, and, like, clearly, like, the level of hardware advancement is, you know, beyond what Switch can do. And so, like, third-party support, basically, you know, they can't even really do any kind of realistic port anymore. I can see maybe that kind of killing some of the momentum. But, like, as of right now, like, I think it's good for the next couple years, especially if it keeps getting stuff like Mario and Zelda, and, like, I mean, we've got Metroid Prime coming. That's what, guys, there's gonna be a Pokemon game on this thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, what Nintendo handheld has, I mean, like, the 3DS is the one with Pokemon that has probably sold the least, and I mean, that thing still sold over 60 million units.
Yeah.
I mean, like Pokemon is, you know, I love Mario, I love Zelda, but, like, let's be real, Pokemon is Nintendo's biggest franchise.
And if Pokemon comes in, like,
phenomenons.
Pokemon comes in 2019, it would be a pretty big shot in the arm, like,
people will buy it
for that. But, yeah, it feels like, I know we're getting a bit off topic at the end here, but, like, it feels like a bunch of third parties are going to put games into production now. They're not going to show up for, like, a year or so, and then what happens if they don't sell? Like, I don't know.
I think it'll be interesting to see how, like, Skyrim does this Christmas. Because I think that'll really set the tone for how those third parties view the platform.
React.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Skyrim and FIFA and...
NBA, WWE, a lot of the sports stuff.
I actually... Oh my gosh. I actually think that FIFA will do really well. I really do.
It's starting to
get some good press lately now. People are saying FIFA on Switch is actually good. So as long as the word of mouth continues to be, like, decent on that, I think, people will end up buying it. I mean, having it portably.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it's behind, like, Mario...
So poorly.
Behind, like, Mario Odyssey, I believe FIFA was our highest performing content on, like, NWR TV, as far as I know. Like, there's a huge jump up to FIFA. Like, people are interested in that game.
Yeah. I actually think FIFA will do well on the Switch, and I think that'll lead to EA porting over their other sports games over, and especially some of their, like, you know, smaller titles. Like, I can see them putting, like, Plants vs. Zombies on there.
Yeah.
Just stuff like that. I don't think that Switch is gonna get, like, Star Wars Battlefront 2 or, like, Battlefield 2 or whatever it's called anytime soon, but I also don't think that those are really games that, like, fit the Switch either. But I do think the EA has some games like Plants vs. Zombies that would work really well and sell really well on Switch. I think that's the type of third party that Switch really needs.
What if it sells well enough and that stuff has enough sell through for third parties, then it becomes worth it for those developers to create original content, not just port stuff. Cause porting stuff is going to be next to impossible. But if things are working out well for EA, online games maybe do well on Switch, then maybe, Star Wars Battlefront as it is on PS4 and Xbox One, maybe not. But some original Star Wars game for Switch, totally. As long as they can sell it. Yeah.
Rogue Squadron 4.
Oh God, please. Yes. Thank you.
I agree with what you're saying. I actually don't even really want ports on Switch. That original content is what I want.
Yeah.
A lot of my favorite third-party games on prior Nintendo consoles, like the Nintendo 64 and the GameCube, are games that were made specifically for those consoles by third parties. Like Rogue Squadron, and like stuff like Mischief Makers on Nintendo 64, I'm blanking right now, but, there were a lot of really good, like Super Monkey Ball on, to bring it back to Sega. I would like to see some of those franchises that Sega has let die get revived as original games.
Get them to bring back, Skies of Arcadia for Switch.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Or like Jet Set Radio would be really cool.
Yeah.
Fantasy Star.
They should do online. A Jet Set Radio cross Splatoon.
Oh my gosh, yes. That'd be so good.
we can finally get Conduit 3 and finish that plot line.
Finish the fight. Conduit 3. Yeah, I just think there's more potential for that type of stuff on Switch to do well than I do for, a port of, Call of Duty or Battlefield. I don't know. We'll see what Switch is like. We'll see what Sonic is like in the future. It's definitely going to be an interesting console cycle for Nintendo. Yeah. Having launched in the middle of one and probably going to be, seeing its second... So the second half of its life in the middle, at the launch of, PlayStation 5 or whatever they want to call it. So, it'll be interesting. I think stuff like Pokemon, and then if you can get original third-party content, on it, I think it'll be good. I know we got off topic a little bit there at the end, but it's always good to talk about Switch. I love the thing to death. As a piece of hardware, I'm not talking about library, I'm not talking about, any of that stuff, because it's still too early to talk library. Although it's first-year library, very good.
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, when you got Mario and Zelda in your first year's library, you're doing pretty well. I'm not talking about library, because we don't know what that's going to look like in 5 years compared to other Nintendo consoles, but just as a piece of hardware, it is probably my favorite thing Nintendo has ever made. I love it. I love having a home console that is portable. So, but we'll see about its future. Any final thoughts on Sonic Mania or the future of Sonic?
I just really want Sonic Maker now.
Yeah, me too. Now that you mention it. I just like Maker games. They're fun to see what games can do. Yeah. Mario Maker was certainly really cool. Do we trust Sega to make us a good Sonic Maker?
Well, if it's by the same team that made Sonic
I don't
Mania.
Trust Sega to do... I trust Sega to let these guys make all of their games from now on.
Yeah, at least they're 2D Sonic games, for sure.
Yeah, Sega's just a publisher for these guys. That's...
Yeah.
Just sell them Sonic and be done with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
Because they made my favorite Sonic game ever, probably, so...
Yep.
Alright, well, thank you for joining us, talking about Sonic on Connectivity, episode 233. I hope you all are enjoying Sonic, I hope you're all enjoying your Switches. If you haven't played Sonic, definitely get it. Even if you're on the fence about Sonic and you haven't liked it before, even John liked Sonic Mania.
That's true.
So check it out. If you like... this podcast. If you like Nintendo World Report's other content, like what we've got going on YouTube, what we've got going on the site at NintendoWorldReport.com, be sure to swing over to our Patreon. And if you really like what we do, and you want to support us there, toss us a couple bucks so we can keep doing what we do. With that, I'm signing off. Thanks for joining us.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.